point out for you cities of refuge whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwillingly may flee thither, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he that doth flee unto one of those cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city, and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city, they shall take him into the city unto them, and give him a place that he may dwell among them. And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand, because he smote his neighbour unwittingly, and hated him not before time. And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return, and come unto his own city, and unto his own house, unto the city from whence he fled. And they appointed Kadesh in Galilee, in Mount Naphtali, and Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron, in the mountain of Judah. And on the other side Jordan, by Jericho eastward, they assigned Bezer in the wilderness, upon the plain out of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth in Gilead, out of the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan, out of the tribe of Manasseh. These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourneth among them, that whosoever killeth any person unawares might flee thither and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood until he stood before the congregation. Amen. With God's word open, let's just pause. Tonight we're going to give consideration to the cities that are mentioned here in this chapter of Joshua 20. The six cities of refuge stand amongst a vast array of names that are mentioned in the chapters prior to and after chapter 20. In the main, chapters 13 to 19 of the book of Joshua describe how the promised land was divided up amongst the tribes of Israel. Each tribe receiving their allotted portion by the Lord. They were told of the exact location, the boundaries that would become their inheritance, along with the cities that would soon become theirs. The chapters, therefore, 13 to 19, are a historical record concerning the dividing up of the land of Canaan. When we come to chapter 20, we read about six specific cities known as the cities of refuge. Their names are given in verses 7 and 8, Kadesh, Shechem, Hebron, Bezer, Ramoth, and Golan. They were assigned by the Lord as a place of refuge and shelter from the avenger of blood. Whenever we turn to the Word of God, and especially the Old Testament, we find that there are many pictures of Christ in the Old Testament. That is because from Genesis to Revelation, the Word of God is all about Christ. And so oftentimes, in the Old Testament, we will see a foreshadowing, a picture, a symbol of the one who would come, a foreshadowing of the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. Here is, in this chapter, a most wonderful picture of the Son of God. Their city of refuge was the only place of shelter from the avenger of blood. Likewise, can I say that Jesus Christ is the only refuge for lost, guilty souls. Refuge from God's wrath is found alone in the person and work of the Son of God. And as we consider the cities of refuge, you and I will find that there's a wonderful picture here of the gospel of the Lord Jesus and his love for sinners. And tonight I want us therefore to consider Christ, the only refuge for guilty souls. Here we first of all find the provision of the six cities of refuge. The provision of the cities of refuge. Of the 48 Levitical cities, six were appointed as cities of refuge. They were set aside as a place of shelter and protection. They were most certainly appointed by the Lord. If you turn back to the book of Deuteronomy, in the book of Deuteronomy and the chapter 4, we read about how Moses was to First of all, set aside three cities of refuge. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 41. Then Moses severed three cities on this side Jordan toward the sun rising, verse 43, namely Beza in the wilderness, in the plain country of the Reubenites, Ramoth and Gilead of the Gadites, and Golan and Bashan of the Manassites. Moses was commanded by the Lord to set aside these three cities. Then, if you turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 19 and the verse 9, we're told that there were to be another three cities added beside the first three, giving it a total of six cities of refuge. Look at verse 9 of Deuteronomy 19. It says, "If thou shalt keep all these commandments to do them which I command thee this day, to love the Lord thy God and to walk ever in his ways, then shalt thou add three cities more for thee besides these three." They were, as I said, provided as a place of shelter and safety for a person who had killed someone accidentally. You see, in the East, it's important that we understand the custom. In the East, it was the custom that if a person was killed, the nearest relative to the deceased became what is termed the avenger of blood. It was the obligation, the duty of the avenger of blood to find the person who had killed their loved one, now whether that death was accidental or deliberate, and put them to death. They had a right to put them to death. They were obligated. However, if a person was killed accidentally, the city of refuge was provided as a place of shelter and safety from the avenger of blood. Now the Lord gives examples. If you look at Deuteronomy chapter 19 and the verse 4 and 5, here we read about someone who was eligible to flee to a city of refuge. Verse 4 says, "And this is the case of the slayer, which shall flee thither that he may live, whoso killeth his neighbour ignorantly, whom he hated not in time past, as when a man goeth into the wood with his neighbour to hew wood, and his hand fetcheth a stroke with the axe to cut down the tree, and the head slippeth from the helve and lighteth upon his neighbour that he die, he shall flee unto one of those cities and live." God provided the refuge that they might live, that they might not die from the hand of the avenger of blood. The illustration is very simple, it's very clear. A man is out, the Lord says, he's cutting down a tree. Somehow, the axe head becomes loosened from the handle. It leaves that handle as a man pulls it back. It strikes the man beside him. It kills him. He didn't mean to kill that man. Therefore, he can flee. He's eligible to flee to a city of refuge. He can make haste. He can flee from the avenger of blood. An analogy is often used between the city of refuge and the way of salvation. And there are wonderful comparisons. However, there is a distinct mark of difference between the two. The city of refuge, in a sense, was for those who had killed someone accidentally. Wasn't premeditated murder. In a sense, it was from someone who was innocent of doing that. However, salvation in Christ is provided for the guilty. You see, in Deuteronomy chapter 19, we are told that under the Judean law, no provision was made for the murderer. So the sense was this: if a man or woman killed someone in premeditated, cold-blooded murder, they must die. That was the law. There would be no refuge for them. There would be no city where they could flee and seek to find shelter. No, the murderer must die. The guilty must die. I would that you, dear friend, tonight would consider that under the law of God, there is no provision made for your soul. You are guilty, just like the murderer. Guilty of violating God's holy laws and commandments. falling short of God's glory. And as such, you have upon you the very sentence of death. Man and woman, I want you to realize tonight that the Avenger of Blood is on your heels. And you need to give consideration to that. Galatians 3 verse 24 says, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith." And so the law of God teaches us many things. The law of God teaches us that God is infinitely holy, that God is righteous, that God is just, that God hates sin, that God punishes sin. The law of God also teaches us that man is guilty, man is sinful. Man has fallen short and broken that law. And the law of God teaches us of the fact that you and I, that we've all sinned against a holy God. And therefore, our life is unacceptable to God. Would to God that you would give consideration tonight to the fact that as a sinner that you stand condemned under the law of God. The verdict has been passed. Guilty of breaking God's laws and commandments. Guilty of sinning against your Creator. The Bible teaches us that there is no man that sinneth not. And so as there was no provision made under the Judean law for the murderer, for the guilty, likewise under the law of God, there is no provision for your soul. By that I mean, it is not by the keeping of the law that you and I are saved. Because we've broken that law. We've violated it. It's not by the deeds, by the works of the law, that we're saved. The sinner therefore stands as one condemned under the law of God. One who is cursed under that law. Because he has upon him awaiting the full penalty of that law. The wages of sin is death. Physical death, spiritual death, and eternal death. Separation from God's mercy forever, and lost forever. And therefore, God's wrath, if you're not saved, I want you to consider this, that God's wrath hangs above your head as a sword that has been unsheathed and it's drawn, and at any moment it could cut you off into eternity. That is why, dear friend, we place upon you the great emphasis, the need to be saved, and the need to be saved now. To come to Christ, but to come to Christ now, it's a serious matter. The eternal welfare, the salvation of your precious soul. The Word of God teaches us, John 3:36, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth in him." You're not saved. Every step you take in life, God's wrath hangs above your head. And the Avenger of Blood is on your track. However, God in his infinite grace has provided a refuge for guilty sinners. Where is that refuge? In the church? No. In Christ. It's in the person of His Son. For the Lord Jesus Christ, His perfect life has fulfilled all the requirements of the strict law and justice of God. The law of God demands total conformity. Jesus Christ lived that perfect life of obedience. He came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. He did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth. And by virtue of His impeccable life, His sinless life, by virtue of His atoning death, dying as a sinner's substitute, praise God, He has purchased an everlasting salvation for sinners. I know that you tonight, dear friend, that you were awakened to your need. You were concerned about your need. You were alarmed about your need of Christ. It's my prayer that the Lord Himself will alarm you and awaken you as to the need of your soul. That if you're not saved, the God in mercy will give you no rest, no peace until you enter into Christ. Now the slayer who was awakened to his need, the person who killed someone accidentally, the man eligible to flee to the city of refuge, I want you to see he could not just run to any place of refuge. No, he had to go to God's appointed city. God had appointed the way. And that was the place that he had to go to. And so it is, dear friend. In order for you to be reconciled with God and accepted by God, you must flee to Christ. For he is the way. I think it's so tragic that in this province where the gospel is preached literally in every street corner in city and town, it's tragic that there are many who are seeking refuge, but they are seeking refuge in the wrong place. How many tonight are hiding in the city of pride? They pride themselves on the person that they are. I haven't committed this crime. I haven't done that evil. I'm good enough for God. What a lie. And there they seek refuge and they seek shelter in the city of pride. For some it is a city of good works. And they hide behind the walls of religion and the church. For some it is a city of self-righteousness. I thank God that I'm not as other men are. I've done this, I've done that. And they're filled with self-righteousness. For some, it is a city of false profession. And they think that because they've made a profession, that is enough, as it were, to get into heaven. There are so many in our country who are like that. And yet their life does not match up to that profession. Let me say that if you tonight, dear friend, and are hiding in the city of pride, in the city of good works, in the city of your own righteousness, the avenger of blood will track you down. God's wrath will find you out. Christ is the only refuge for guilty souls. For neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The only way to be saved, to know God, is through Christ. He's the only way. The provision of the cities of refuge. Then we see here the position of the cities of refuge. You see, each city was strategically positioned by the Lord. Three cities were on either side of the River Jordan. The sense is that their position was that the person fleeing from the avenger of blood, he would not have too far to travel in order to reach a city of refuge. The cities were, in a sense, near to hand. But of course, the Bible states that the kingdom of God is at hand. That means that you, who are awakened to your need, if you, as a guilty sinner, have been awakened to the fact that you've sinned against God, you need Christ as Savior, that even right now, you can lift your heart to God in prayer, and you can cry from your heart, Lord, save me, or I perish. You can be saved right now in the sea. The kingdom of God is at hand. Each of the cities were built upon mountainous regions. It means that they had a place of prominence. They were clear to see. They were visible from a great distance. The man there, the person who had killed that person accidentally, he could lift up his eyes and yonder there in the distance, yonder in the hilltop, there was a refuge. It was clear to see. Dear friend, you need tonight to lift your eyes to Calvary. To look away to Golgotha. There upon that mount where the Lord Jesus died. Consider the approach to each city. There was a causeway of stones that led to each city of refuge. The sense was there that the guilty soul, he could not only see the city there in the distance upon the hilltop, but he could be guided by that pathway. And praise God, as our own chorus says, there's a pathway, precious pathway, that leads me to glory. It's the Word of God that points us to Christ. The Word of God guides us. It was the duty of the Levites to keep that causeway of stones clear, free from obstacles, from obstructions. And they actually, the Levites would have erected signs of the Hebrew word miklat on them, meaning refuge. You see, there was a guilty soul. His body was trembling with fear. He was awakened to his need. He was seeking refuge. He had his eye upon the hill. He could follow the way, the causeway of stones. He could be sure this is the way to refuge. And then there were signposts clearly guiding and directing. In each of the cities, they were accessible, whether it was night or day. The gates were not closed at any time. And the sense is there that whether young in life or whether in old age, the gates were open to all, to any who would flee for refuge. What a picture of the gospel. And Christ and his love for sinners. Whether you're old or young, Jesus Christ is not only able to save you, he is willing to save you. He's a friend of sinners. The whosoever will may come. Think about the protection of the cities of refuge. Matthew Henry's note on the cities of refuge is worthy of remark. He says, "I delight not in quibbling on names, yet I'm willing to take note of these." You see, in the names of the cities of refuge, we have a picture of Christ in the gospel. Their names are not without significance. Let me very briefly and quickly go through them. Kadesh, translated in the Hebrew, means holy or sanctified. It speaks to us of the Holy One, of Christ, the one who came to reconcile God to man and man to God, the one who fulfilled the law of God. The Lord Jesus came that we might be reconciled to our God. Shechem means back or shoulder. Points us, does it not, to the one whose government is upon his shoulder? It also reminds us of the one who is titled as being the Good Shepherd, the one who left aside in 99 to seek the one sheep that was lost. When he found it, he took that poor little lamb, he placed it upon his shoulders, and he brought it home rejoicing. The name Hebron comes from the Hebrew word to mean have fellowship with. How is it that a man can be just with God? How can any man or woman, guilty, condemned, lost, and cursed under the law of God, how can they have fellowship with God? How can they be reconciled to God? I'll tell you how. It's through Christ. For he is our Hebron. And when we enter into Christ, praise God, we're brought into everlasting union with the Lord. Golan means joy or rejoicing. It also employs a sense of to remove. And it speaks of the atonement and how Christ has removed our sins. Ramoth comes from the Hebrew word meaning to be lifted up. You see, even in the city names here, God was speaking about the one who would come. The one who one day would be lifted up, suspended between heaven and earth, the God-man. It points us to the cross. Lifted up was he to die. Praise God, because the Lord Jesus Christ was lifted up. Because he bore the price of our sin. Praise God, we are lifted up from the miry clay in the pit of sin. The last name, Bezer, means fenced, fortified, or walled. It gives a sense of the eternal security that as we have as God's people trusting in Christ. That there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. You see, the Bible does not teach being saved and lost. The Bible teaches being lost and then saved. Or the reality that the child of God cannot lose his or her salvation. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is saved. Outside of the city of refuge. There was no protection. It was only within. Outside of Christ, dear friend, outside of Christ, there is no refuge for your soul. If you're trusting in the church to get you to heaven, then you're going to be very, very disappointed. If you're trusting in your good works to get you to heaven, you've been deceived and you have no refuge. In the Old Testament, with this I close, there was a man by the name of Abner. A great man, a powerful man, captain of the king's army, a great military leader. And David lifted up his voice at his funeral, at the funeral service of Abner, and he said, "Died Abner as a fool died." That was because Abner had killed a man. He was fleeing to a city of refuge. He was at the gateway of the city called Hebron. And Joab, the one who was the avenger of blood, the one whose job it was to put him to death, stood there and looked him in the eye, looked him in the face. And Joab began to speak with him peaceably, to speak with him quietly. No doubt, uttering those lies, "Now, Abner, don't worry, I'm not going to destroy you. I'm not going to kill you. I forgive you for killing my brother. All's well." But every step the man took, Joab had the intention, get him away from the door, get him away from refuge. And then, he smote him under the fifth rib and he died. How many there are tonight like that in Ulster? The devil has deceived them. Get them away from salvation. Oh, you've heard the gospel. You've heard the need of Christ. But don't enter in. Don't get saved. Surely it won't be just as the preacher says at the end of the day. All will work out fair and well. What a lie. Abner perished. And David lifted up his voice and he said, "You died as a fool." And let me say that it is a very, very foolish thing to turn away from the door of salvation. Dear friend, whether young or old, you need to enter in. You need to get right with God. You need tonight to hide in Christ. He's the only refuge for your soul. What if God's wrath, that sword, fell upon you tomorrow? Where would your soul be in eternity? I plead with you. I plead with you in the name of the Savior to flee to Him for refuge. To look to Christ. To trust Christ. By faith to embrace Him. And be saved for time. And for eternity. Amen. We trust indeed that the Lord will speak to unto our hearts for Jesus' sake. Let's turn to hymn 280.